Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
Germany caves to Allied demands, women are looping the loop, and Charlie Chaplin catches fire. It's May 1921.
100 years from today.
World News Update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. Following Franco-British disagreement over the disposition of Upper Silesia, a third Silesian uprising is underway under the leadership of Polish nationalist and former member of the German Reichstag, Wojciech Korfanty. The Polish forces have destroyed all German rail bridges in Upper Silesia, leading the Inter-Allied Commission to declare martial law in Silesian cities. For their part, the Germans have been more preoccupied with matters to their west. The French government has called up 200,000 men and concentrated 9 army divisions on the German border in preparation for an expansion of their current occupation of certain German cities to an occupation of the entire Ruhr Valley. Following the German default on their May 1st war reparations payment of 12 billion gold marks, the Allied Supreme War Council has notified Berlin that it has until May the 12th to accept a total reparations obligation of 135 billion marks. The British Prime Minister, Mr. Lloyd George, signed the demand himself. Following the American Secretary of State, Charles Evan Hughes's reply to the Germans that the US has no interest in mediating the dispute, Chancellor Fehrenbach and his cabinet have resigned.
I ain't nobody's darling, I'm blue as can be, cause I ain't got nobody, so fat as I be. If I don't get some money, I'll make a little farm and milk the cows and chickens, cause I don't give a good gosh darn.
It may seem like Germany ain't nobody's darling these days, but you never know, they may have a new friend. A provisional treaty has been signed in Berlin, under which Germany will recognize the Soviet government in Russia. So-called self-determination is the principle, heavily promoted by former American President Woodrow Wilson, that has remade the map of Europe. But self-determination only goes so far, and apparently not as far as the Gulf of Bothnia. The Åland Islands are an archipelago of almost entirely Swedish speakers, and they would like to belong to Sweden, but the League of Nations Commission on the Islands has awarded the territory to Finland. The Åland Islands will be neutral and demilitarized, and there will be international guarantees to protect their culture against any assimilation attempts by Finland. The Bolsheviks march on beyond the bounds of Europe. Riots are underway in Jaffa in the new British Mandate, prompted by calls from the Jewish Communist Party for the establishment of a Soviet Palestine. Clashes with the rival socialists of Ardut Haavda have led to Jews, Christians and Muslims fighting it out in the neighbourhood of Manshia. To date, at least 40 people are dead, including the acclaimed Hebrew novelist Yosef Chaim Brenner.
I long to know.
Scotland. We have spent much time in recent months on the ructions in the dear old south of the country, round Dublin, but on John Bull's other island, there is also a dear old Northland, and they are now a distinct political entity. Westminster's fourth Home Rule Bill has come into effect, creating new devolved parliaments for Northern Ireland and for Southern Ireland. Northern Ireland will comprise the six predominantly unionist counties of Antrim, Armagh, Down, Fermanagh, Londonderry and Tyrone. Elections for this new entity of Northern Ireland are scheduled for later this month and are expected to be won by the Unionist Party. Its leader, Sir James Craig, has met with Éamon de Valera, leader of Sinn Féin in the south, but it seems increasingly unlikely that there are sufficient takers for any Southern Irish parliament within the United Kingdom. In the United States, the Supreme Court has reversed the conviction of Senator Truman Newberry, Republican of Michigan, for violation of the Federal Corrupt Practices Act in his 1918 election campaign against Democrat candidate and automobile manufacturer Henry Ford. It is not yet clear when or if Senator Newberry will be returning to Congress. The Secretary of War, John Weeks, has announced that all draft evaders of the recent World War will be arrested and treated as willful deserters. Congressman George Tinkham, Republican of Massachusetts, knows something about war. While visiting the Western Front as part of a congressional delegation, he claims to have been the first American to fire a shot at the Austrians. As part of a long campaign to protect voting rights for Negroes in the Democrat South, Congressman Tinkham had proposed an investigation into the South's disenfranchisement of black voters. It has been rejected by the House of Representatives with 285 opposed and only 46 members in favour. The Swedish Parliament has passed a bill abolishing capital punishment throughout the kingdom. In sports news, the English Football League has recorded the lowest match attendance in its history, with only 13 paying customers present to watch a match between Leicester City and Stockport County. Surely every Peruvian knows this famous Andean tune, as popularized by the spectacularly successful zarzuela El Condor Pasa. The condor passes overhead. But scan those skies carefully. That may not be a condor passing up there, but the speedy aviator Giovanni Ancelotto. He has just flown across the Andes in an Ansaldo A1 Balila, completing the journey from Lima to Cerro de Pasco in 1 hour, 35 minutes at an average altitude of 18,044 feet with a maximum altitude of 22,966 feet while over Mount Meigs. He covered the 76 miles from Lima to La Oroya at an average speed of 143 miles per hour, leaving El Condor Pasa in the dust. It may be that high flying is becoming safer than the lower transportation methods. The Japanese passenger ship Tokuyu Maru has caught fire and sunk in the Pacific Ocean. The U.S. Army transport, the Buford, managed to rescue 65 of those passengers. The astronomer William Robert Brooks discovered his first comet in 1881 with a telescope he made himself. He went on to discover another 26 comets, making him second only to Jean-Louis Pons as the world's most prolific discoverer of comets. He has now joined them in the heavens, dead at the age of 77. William Fries Green was an English inventor and photographer. He was a pioneer of cinematic photography, going back to the magic lantern days and then to experiments with the use of celluloid. His inventions included photo typesetting, a form of printing without ink, and a process to film in two colours. His inventions earned him great wealth, and he blew through it all. Almost entirely forgotten by the modern photoplay business, the impoverished Mr. Green attended a stormy meeting at the Connaught Rooms in London to discuss the poor state of British picture distribution. During a spirited intervention from the floor, he was asked by the chairman, Lord Beaverbrook, to come up on stage so more people could hear him. Mr. Fries Green did so, then returned to his seat, collapsed, and died at the age of 66. The industry that had entirely forgotten him has now given him a grand funeral and observed in its picture palaces a 2-minute silence for the man they now call the inventor of kinematography. It is only a decade since Alfred Hermann Fried won the Nobel Peace Prize. In 1892, Herr Fried founded the German Peace Society, which name rings a little ironic in light of more recent events, but its proposals for an organization to mandate world peace have largely come to fruition in the new League of Nations. Herr Fried was also a great promoter of the universal language Esperanto and wrote the definitive textbook of that universal tongue. He is dead at 56. Rest in peace. Or in Esperanto, Reposu in Paco. Your world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The German Reichstag has voted 221-175 to yield to the Allies' ultimatum of May the 5th for immediate disarmament, for trials of German war criminals, and for complete acceptance of reparations terms. In London, Berlin's ambassador, Herr Friedrich Stammer, has personally delivered the note of capitulation to Prime Minister Lloyd George, stating the German government has resolved, quote, to carry out without reserve or condition its obligations. Another week, another new Bolshevik party in Prague. Former Social Democrats have decided they are now the Communist Party of Czechoslovakia and have voted 562-7 to join the Comintern. Not such a convivial conference for Romanian Bolsheviks, as the Socialist Party's convention ended in Bucharest. The Interior Minister ordered the mass arrest of 51 Romanian communists in favour of allying with the Comintern. Prime Minister Giolitti's National Coalition won 266 seats, while the Socialist Party and the Catholic Party both lost members. Is what the Italians call fascism emerging as a key alternative to Bolshevism? The charismatic leader of this new movement, the former socialist Benito Mussolini, has won election to the Chamber of Deputies and will be a backbencher to watch in the new parliament. In Simla, the Marquess of Reading, Viceroy of India, has met with the Mahatma Gandhi, who in the 6 years since his return to his native land from South Africa has emerged as the leader of the Indian independence movement. More restive subjects of the crown. Last week we reported on the inauguration of Northern Ireland, one of two new jurisdictions within the United Kingdom created by the Government of Ireland Act. In the other polity, things are not going so smoothly. In the first elections of the new Parliament of Southern Ireland, all 128 candidates ran unopposed. 124 of them were Sinn Féin, the remaining quartet Independent Unionist Party candidates from Dublin. Half the new Sinn Féin members are currently in jail. The ones who are not have said they will refuse to take their oath of allegiance to the King, leaving those four unionists sitting all alone in a very empty legislature.
Here's a Japanese sandman sneaking on with a view. Just an old second-hand man, he'll buy your old days from you. He will take every sorrow of the day that is through, and he'll bring you tomorrow just to start life anew. Then you'll be a bit older in the dawn when you wake, and you'll be a bit bolder in the new day you make. There's a Japanese sandman great in silver.
We wonder what the next Emperor of Japan makes of King George V's disloyal subjects. The Crown Prince Hirohito is currently on a visit to Britain, the first member of the Japanese royal family ever to visit the country. He was met at Portsmouth by his British equivalent, the Prince of Wales. The two heirs apparent then took the train to Victoria Station, where they were greeted by the King and the Duke of York. In the United States, the Supreme Court has decided that the so-called capital gains tax, a tax on the increase in value of assets such as property and real estate, is lawful and can be assessed by the US Treasury. The court has also rejected a challenge to the 18th Amendment of the Constitution prohibiting the manufacture, transport, and sale of alcohol. So if it's any consolation, you're now idle still is unlikely to be liable for capital gains tax any time in the future. Princeton University has honoured a distinguished scientist currently visiting the United States. Albert Einstein is now an honorary Doctor of Science at Princeton. John Greer Hibben, Woodrow Wilson's successor as Princeton's president, says of Professor Einstein, in his structural theory of our ever old, ever new universe, his name stands latest in that illustrious series wherein the other moderns are Clerk Maxwell, Sir Isaac Newton and Galileo, and the earliest name is Pythagoras. So today, for his genius and integrity, we who inadequately measure his power salute the new Columbus of science, voyaging through strange seas of thought alone. Telegraph transmissions, telephone connections, and railroad signals in North America, Europe, and the Southern Hemisphere have all been disrupted by a sunspot 21,000 miles wide and 94,000 miles long. The sunspot caused a geomagnetic storm and an aurora borealis visible across New England.
It's a low, bing, a low, with a low, stay low, stay low, bing, a low. With a loom, whirling and twirling, you and your girl in a car just built for two. Then up in the sky, so high, you fly. Then with a rush, you're down. It's the very same motion you feel on the ocean, but still you're in London town. It's looping the loop with Lucy, looping the loop with Lucy.
Do you like those girls who loop the loop? The stunt pilot Laura Bromwell has set a new record for consecutive loops by a woman, with a total of 199 loops in 1 hour 20 minutes over Roosevelt Field near Mineola on Long Island. The New York Times and many other American newspapers reported that the leading photoplay comedian Charlie Chaplin had been severely burned during the filming of his latest picture, The Idol Class. According to multiple reporters, an acetylene torch being used in the scene set Mr. Chaplin's coat and distinctively baggy trousers alight. In a second, he was aflame from head to toe and suffered severe burns to his face, hands and body. Mr. Chaplin has protested that although there was a slight accident with a blowtorch that required him to modify his costume, his agent has exaggerated the incident for publicity, and in fact his body, including his face, are entirely unburned. Few newspapers have printed the correction. The acclaimed Italian playwright Luigi Pirandello has had a mixed reaction to his latest work, Six Characters in Search of an Author, at its premiere at the Teatro Valle in Rome. Theatergoers yelled incommensurabile, incomprehensible, and manicomio, a madhouse, and a brawl broke out, forcing the playwright and his daughter to duck out via a side door. It is 8 decades since a member of the American House of Representatives committed suicide, but William Frankhauser has now joined their number. Elected last November as a Republican in Michigan's 3rd Congressional District, he served for just 2 months and never set foot in the chamber. Admitted to Dr. Kellogg's famous Battle Creek Sanatorium, Congressman Frankhauser has slashed his throat with a razor and bled to death. He was 58. Your World News Update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The first trial of German soldiers for war crimes has opened in Leipzig. The first man in the dock charged with breaking international law is Sergeant Karl Heinen, the commandant of a prisoner of war camp in Münsterrains in Westphalia, who is accused of brutal treatment of British prisoners of war. 16 of his former captives are scheduled to appear as prosecution witnesses. It will be the first time the old soldiers have seen their tormentor since 1915. Portugal's Prime Minister and his cabinet have resigned after a threatened coup by the Portuguese military. Senhor Machado had been in office for 3.5 months, which is quite long by Portuguese standards. Rioting has erupted in Alexandria. To date, 48 people are dead and another 200 injured. According to a report from the Associated Press, trouble started between, quote, low-class Greeks and natives on Anastasia Street. The cause of their grievance is unknown, but indiscriminate fighting and shooting has now spread to other districts. The Republic of China has filed a protest against Great Britain over London's plans to continue the Anglo-Japanese alliance, which had been set to expire on July the 1st. The future of the alliance is likely to dominate next month's imperial conference.
In that dear little town, in the old county down, it will linger way down in my heart. Though it never was grand, it is my very land. Just a wonderful world set apart. Oh, my Ireland of dreams, you are with me, it seems, and I care not for fame or renown. Like the black sheep of old, I'll come back to the fold. Little town,
mountains in the old County Down sound so bucolic in the songs. But they were fiercely fought over in the first elections for the new Northern Ireland Parliament. Both Sir James Craig, leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, and Mr. Eamon de Valera, leader of the Republican Sinn Féin Party, contested seats in Down. Unlike the elections for the new Parliament of Southern Ireland, where all candidates ran unopposed, it was a hard-fought campaign in Ulster. But ultimately unsuccessful for Mr. de Valera, his election newspaper, somewhat confusingly called The Unionist, targeted Protestant loyalists in rural districts, but is said to have had no impact other than to energise unionist voters. Turnout was 88%. The unionists won 40 out of 52 seats, and Sir James will be the first man in British history to be styled Prime Minister of Northern Ireland. In the United States, President Harding has signed into law the Emergency Quota Act, restricting immigration into America and limiting it to the same numbers and proportions of various foreign nationals as immigrated to the Republic over a decade ago. The Chief Justice of the United States is dead at the age of 75. Edward Douglas White upheld the constitutionality of conscription, struck down the Southern states' grandfather clauses used to disfranchise Negro voters, but sided with the majority on so-called separate but equal public facilities such as schools. Remarkably, the man who appointed Chief Justice White, President Taft, is said to be eager to succeed him as America's top judge. Sidney Katz, the former governor of Florida, has been indicted in U.S. District Court on charges of peonage, that is to say, holding Negroes in forced servitude. Mr. Katz is accused of using his power of pardon to free two black men from state prison and have them transferred to his plantation in Walton County as involuntary laborers. In West Virginia, the situation in Mingo County has been deteriorating for some time as Blair Mountain mine owners and the United Mine Workers have squared off over the right to unionize. The trial of popular police chief Sid Hatfield for the murder of Albert Feltz of the legendary Baldwin Feltz Detective Agency further exacerbated the situation, but union miners have now launched a full-scale military-style assault on the non-union mines, and in consequence, Governor Morgan has placed Mingo County under martial law. That's the infectious toe-tapping showstopper by Ubi Blake and Noble Sissel from a sensational new musical production called Shuffle Along, written and staged and performed by some of the most impressive Negro talent ever seen on the Great White Way. Both white and black theatregoers are just wild about Shuffle Along, to the point that there are nightly traffic jams on 63rd Street in the hour before curtain up. It looks like it has settled into the Court Theatre for what will be a very long time. They're just wild about Alfredo. Dr. Alfredo de Zayas has been sworn in as the fourth president of Cuba. Unlike his predecessors, he is not a battle-scarred soldier, but an intellectual with plans to give women the vote and to recover Cuban sovereignty over the U.S.-occupied Isle of Pines. Santo Domingo, as the former Dominican Republic is now known, also has a new leader. That's Rear Admiral Samuel Robeson, appointed by President Harding as America's military governor for the territory. Marie Curie has accomplished so much. In 1903, she became the first woman to win a Nobel Prize, and 8 years later joined the even more elite group of those who have won the Nobel Prize twice, and in two different disciplines, physics and chemistry. She has done pioneering work on X-rays and radioactivity, a word Madame Curie coined, and her mobile radiography units did sterling work at field hospitals during the late World War. She has discovered many chemical elements, including polonium, which she named for her native Poland in hopes the publicity might free that land from the Tsarist yoke. And just last year, she founded the Curie Institute in Paris. Now, to her many high honors, she can add the gold medal of America's National Institute of Social Sciences, conferred upon Marie Curie at a ceremony in New York.
Back home again, back home again in Indiana, when you see that I can see the gleaming candlelight, still shining bright through the sea of morn for me. The new moon is a lonely fragrance from the fields I used to roam. When I dream about the moonlight on the
Indiana, the candlelight, the sycamores, the new mown hay, moonlight on the Wabash. But what about the sheer wonder of it? For weeks, Indiana newspapers have run advertisements proclaiming only the word wonder, accompanied by cryptic verses that betrayed no clue as to what was so wondrous. Now we know. The Taggart Baking Company of Indianapolis has launched a new bread called Wonder Bread. The name comes from company vice president Elmer Klein, who came up with it while attending the international balloon race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Mr. Klein says he looked up at the multicolored balloons in the sky and was filled with wonder. Indeed, an image of red, yellow, and blue balloons will grace the wrappers of the company's new bread. We shall watch with interest to see if Wonder Bread catches on. The first electrically propelled American ship, the Eclipse, has docked back in New York after a voyage of 26,500 miles, all powered by electricity. Franklin Lane served 7 years as Secretary of the Interior, and before that another 7 years as Commissioner of the Interstate Commerce Commission. There were many Democrats who thought he had the makings of a president, but he suffered the disadvantage of having been born a subject of the British Crown on Prince Edward Island. Nevertheless, there were attempts to nominate him as Democrat vice presidential candidate for the 1904 race. Instead, his long years of service in far less prominent positions ruined Mr. Lane. His health deteriorated, and the costs of treatment at Dr. Mayo's famous clinic in Minnesota drained his modest finances. He is dead at the age of 56 and has left no estate. Your world news update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. Following Upper Silesia's vote to be part of Germany rather than Poland, British soldiers, British aeroplanes, British tanks have arrived in the region's capital city, Opeln, in order to keep the peace between the Polish and German communities. How's it going? Well, fighting has broken out in the city of Butin. There are said to be hundreds of casualties. There are a lot of would-be Germans out there. Salzburg province in Austria has voted to join Germany. Both the government in Vienna and the Allied Supreme Council have said the plebiscite is non-binding. One day before the deadline for payment, Berlin has delivered 1 billion gold marks to the Allied Reparations Commission. In Germany itself, there has finally been a conviction for war crimes by the Kaiser's troops, as required by the Treaty of Versailles. A Leipzig court has convicted a former German army sergeant and sentenced him to jail for 10 months. In Soviet Russia, the Communist Party Congress has approved an economic reform plan by Party Secretary Vladimir Ilyich Lenin that will permit limited capitalism for small businesses. The Bolsheviks will, however, retain control of industries such as textiles, transport, leather, and salt. The government will finance its plans with a one-third tax on income, and for peasants, a one-third tax on the value of their assets. But can the communists retain control of their vast empire? Menshevik soldiers, styling themselves the Kapel troops in honor of the late Menshevik general Vladimir Kapel, have toppled the Bolshevik government and seized control of the eastern port of Vladivostok. The Mensheviks have also captured the city of Nikolsk, and the Russian imperial flag flies again from government buildings. Meanwhile, there are reports that a Communist Party of Canada has met for the first time in a barn in Ontario. Elsewhere within His Majesty's dominions, the Irish Republican Army occupied the Custom House in Dublin, headquarters of the local government board for Ireland. The revolutionaries then set the building alight. It is still burning, and hundreds of years of official records are believed to have been destroyed. In propaganda terms, it is a symbolic victory for Republicans. In manpower terms, however, the Royal Irish Constabulary auxiliaries and soldiers from the Wiltshire Regiment killed 5 of the revolutionaries and captured another 80. If you've never been vamped by a brown skin, you've never been vamped at all. That's a hugely popular song in New York from Broadway's latest sensation, the brand new all-Negro musical comedy Shuffle Along. But a brown skin would be advised to proceed more cautiously elsewhere in America. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, a Negro shoeshine boy en route to the colored person's washroom at the top of the Drexel building tripped as he entered the elevator and stumbled against the female elevator operator. The young lady was unconcerned, but a witness reported it to the authorities as a sexual assault. The shoeshine boy was taken into custody. The jail was surrounded by hundreds of white men determined to lynch him. The situation escalated to the point that privately owned aeroplanes are now being used to attack Negro property and fire on Negroes from the air. Initial reports suggest that some 26 coloured persons and 10 whites are dead, hundreds more are injured, and the Greenwood District of Tulsa, the wealthiest Negro community in the United States and known as the Black Wall Street, is ablaze and in ruins. Also in Oklahoma, in Osage County, home of the Osage Indian Nation, local hunters found the decomposing body of a woman deep in a ravine. The authorities have ruled that the death of Anna Brown, an alcoholic divorcee, was an accident. But there are dark rumors that something far more sinister is going on in the county.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air. You can make them hug and squeeze you too. Or if they don't, just say you won't come down until they do. So wait till you get them up in the clouds, boys. There won't be anyone to watch you there. When you get her way up high, have all the fun you can. There never was a girl who'd fall that far for any man. So wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Up, 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 way up in the air.
Getting up in the air is the easy part. Getting back down requires more finesse. The aviator, Eddie Rickenbacker, was attempting a transcontinental flight and en route dropped leaflets of a Memorial Day address from the head of the American Legion.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Up, 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 way up in the air.
But coming in Cheyenne, he ran into problems and his aeroplane flipped over on a hard landing. Mr. Rickenbacker was very fortunate to survive. No such luck for all seven people aboard a U.S. Army Curtiss Eagle ambulance plane. The tri-motor biplane was making a 140-mile trip from Langley Field near Hampton, Virginia, to Bowling Field near Washington when it crashed in Maryland during a ferocious thunderstorm. Five Army officers and two civilians perished. The dead do not include two congressmen and a French diplomat who had been on the outbound flight to Virginia. The three men were taken airsick and chose to decline the return flight. Nevertheless, this is the deadliest airplane accident in America since the age of aviation began. Émile Combes was a transformative prime minister of France for 2.5 turbulent years at the beginning of this century. Fiercely anti-clerical, he was the driving force behind the law on laïcité, the policy of state secularism. 10,000 Catholic schools closed during this period, and thousands of French priests and nuns fled the country. Monsieur Combes is dead at the age of 85. We assume there will be no funeral mass. And that's the way of the world. May 1921.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.